On a recent weekday, during the lunchtime rush, the kitchen at the newest Stroud's location in Independence is sizzling. Quite literally. Manager Lane Dougherty looks out over a stovetop covered in pans of frying chicken.
We're sitting here looking in front of all the skillets, with 24 of them, filled two-thirds of the way with grease, and we got our 3.5-pound birds separated out into each one.
Stroud's calls itself the home of pan-fried chicken, a process Lane says takes skill and practice.
You're adjusting the temps nonstop because you're trying to keep, you know, this big old piece of chicken the right temp. Unlike fryers, where it's a constant temp, these guys are adjusting the temps continually, add more grease to cool it down, taking some out. So it's a lot of skill going into it, and we don't want to burn. She ready to drop in?
Probably. That's a half mix up.
Perfect. We'll use that. We're doing what Mom and Grandma used to do in the kitchen, but we take care of the mess. So it's hot. You get burned. You know, it splatters. It's just not an easy thing to do in somebody's nice, clean kitchen.
I'm Gina Kaufman, and today's Central Standard on KCUR is a food show all about fried chicken. If you've lived in Kansas City for a while, Stroud's is a fried chicken you know. Now we're going to hear about a fried chicken you might not know. Korean fried chicken is becoming trendy in the United States, including here in Kansas City. One of the chefs making fried chicken Korean style is Derek Nacy at BLVD Tavern, and he's come to the studio to tell us about it. Hi, Derek.
Hi, Gina.
If you don't mind my making an observation, you do not appear to be Korean.
No, I'm not.
What inspired your interest in Korean fried chicken? Specifically wings, right?
I think it was just, it was something that I came across a few years ago. I think the first time I really saw it was a Savor article, and it just sounded good.
What sounded good about it? Do you remember?
The balance of flavors that seem to be there. I mean, you've got so many different textures and flavors, and Asian cuisines tend to be really good about having balance of flavor, being sweet, salty, savory, bitter, umami. I mean, it's all there. And who doesn't love fried chicken? It's good and crispy. And you balance all those things together, and it just sounded like something I wanted to make. So I started experimenting with some recipes. So.
Had you been into making fried chicken already, or was Korean fried chicken like your gateway into sizzling poultry?
You know, from a chef perspective, I have never done it before. Anywhere
fried
where
chicken.
I've worked, been the chef of, or it's, I have, my career has definitely been, for the most part, on the upper end of the industry. And, just wasn't something that was part of those menus. But what we do at BLVD Tavern is upscale food, but in a very comfortable bar environment. So, we refer to ourselves as a gastropub, which to me, it's using great fine dining food in a comfortable bar. And having some form of fried chicken or chicken wings just seemed perfect for our menu.
How does Korean fried chicken differ from the fried chicken that comes from the culinary traditions of the American South?
A couple of things. It's going to be twice fried, and it's
once
also...
Once bitten, twice fried?
I'm sorry?
Once bitten, twice fried?
Yeah, I guess so. And it's also, there's a batter, and so... and then, of course, the sauce, where you get all those savory, sweet, salty flavors from. So
what are the basic steps that go into making Korean fried chicken the way you do it?
What we do, we start by brining the chicken wings. And that is, they're left overnight in a solution of some water, some salt, some lemon juice, some bay leaf, some parsley. And by brining the chicken, when it does cook, it stays extra juicy and moist and also imparts a lot of flavor. And then we dredge the chicken wings in cornstarch and then dip them in a batter that consists of wheat flour, some baking powder, half beer, and half vodka.
Whoa.
And so part of the, you know, it's close to a standard beer batter, but using vodka, there's a little science going on there, and we are able to create the right wet consistency that you need for a batter, because the vodka, it contains a lot of moisture, of course, but it's half alcohol. The water content isn't there. And so when you start to cook that batter, it very quickly, all the alcohol evaporates away and it crisps up and cooks extremely quickly. And so
I'm not sure I followed that science lesson entirely, but I'll work on that.
All right.
I'll make that my homework.
All right. And then, so we're, and the first frying, we're at a little bit lower temperature. We go into a 275 degree fryer and let the wings cook until pretty much the chicken's mostly cooked and that batter is set and solidified. And but it's not super crispy at that point. It's just a set batter, and there's not a whole lot of color on it because we're frying at a lower temperature. And then we come back a second time and fry them at 350 and reheats the chicken and really crisps up that crust so it gets super crunchy.
Yeah, your claim to fame, if I understand correctly, is ultra crispiness. And it sounds like there are two main factors there. Just running this past you, the half vodka, half beer addition to your batter being one of them that has to do with science that I don't totally get. And then also that you fry it twice.
Yep.
Well, there you go, guys. That's the secret to ultra crispiness. I've never eaten Korean fried chicken, though I am a fan of Korean food and have a very, very basic sense of the flavors we might be talking about. Talk to me in a little more depth about the flavors and seasonings in this dish.
Well, the sauce that we toss the chicken wings in after they're fried that second time consists of a gochujang, which is a fermented Korean chili paste. So it's spicy chili peppers, some fermented soy paste, and a little glutinous rice and salt. And so this chili paste is spicy, but yet you get a lot of savory, slightly funky flavor there from the fermentation process. And then we combine the gochujang with some soy sauce, some honey, some fresh ginger, some fresh garlic, a little bit of rice wine vinegar, some sesame oil. And so combining all these things together in this sauce, and so some honey in there as well. So we get a very sweet, savory, a little bit spicy, a little sour note, the aromatics from the ginger and the garlic. And
Sesame oil count as umami?
Yes, it would be. But
that's like the nuttiness or like mushroomy kind of
I think it contributes to that. But the fermented gochujang paste definitely that's a lot of your umami element too. The savoriness that you get from fermentation is what creates a lot of that flavor.
But I see what you mean about hitting kind of every note within one sauce.
Mm-hmm.
Did you develop this recipe with an eye toward authenticity, or did you put your own spin on it?
I started with some base recipes that I just started looking at online, and so how authentic those were, I have no idea. I have no way of knowing to begin with. And then
you're just trying to make something that tastes good.
Yeah, and then tweaked it to my own taste, which is just a lot of times what I tend to do as a chef. You start from a base idea and then continue tasting it until you get it exactly how you want it.
Derek, as the chef at BLVD Tavern, what do you think is going on in American culture and American food that Korean fried chicken, which is not new to Koreans, is suddenly such a big thing on all kinds of menus, not just at Korean restaurants? I mean, in fact, it's not really a main draw on Korean menus locally at all.
Mm-hmm. I think as the American palate is getting more and more adventurous and more interested in different, unique, big, bold flavors, people are getting, they're seeking these things out that are very flavorful, very, but balanced. If eating something that might be seasoned well, and like a great big steak that is seasoned well and cooked properly, it tastes great, but you're really kind of getting one flavor there. And I think people are more and more looking to be excited by different balances of flavors within the food they're eating. And you know, Korean cuisine at that is just great in that way. There's a lot of balance. There's a lot of sour elements. There's a lot of pickles being used, and getting some spiciness and some sweetness, and it all just makes for a very flavorful dish.
What would you recommend eating with Korean fried chicken?
Well, what we serve with our KFC is some kimchi, and it is some Napa kimchi, which kimchi can be made out of lots of different vegetables. Probably the most common one is to use Napa cabbage. Again, I think it's just a great accompaniment to that. It's a little bit crunchy. It's a little bit sweet. It's a little bit sour. And we use a good amount of fish sauce in our kimchi recipe. And so, again, you've got a strong umami savory kick there.
Any recommended drink pairings? You've already got your beer and vodka in the chicken.
Yeah, yeah. Some kind of beer is probably going to be best. Some kind of lighter, crisp beer, I think, is going to be the best thing to go with that.
Derek Nacy of BLVD Tavern, thanks for talking Korean fried chicken with us this morning.
Well, thanks for having me.
When we return, the food critics will be here to help us map out the best fried chicken in Kansas City. Call 816-235-2888 to tell us about your favorite fried chicken joint. I'm Gina Kaufman, and that's coming up next on Central Standard. I'm Gina Kaufman. You're listening to Central Standard. And now the food critics are here. Today's topic, fried chicken. Charles Ferruza of The Pitch, welcome back to Central Standard.
Thank you, Gina.
Jenny Vergara with us from Feast Magazine. Hello.
Hello.
And Mary Block. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Gina.
Mary writes a food blog called Around the Block. So guys, let's get this party started. Fried chicken is not new. It's not healthy, and it satisfies few, if any, dietary requirements, but, well, you've got your protein. I'll give it that. But it's seeing a real resurgence in popularity, don't you think?
Well, it's the ultimate comfort food, you know? I mean, I think people need to be reminded that fried chicken, you know, in the early days of America was not, you know, not a food people had that often. They didn't have it, you know, daily. It was a specialty food, like on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's what, of course, there was less obesity in America then. You didn't have drive-thrus. And, you know, so it still has a connotation or resonates as a special food, either for holidays or Sundays.
We're seeing it now on high-end menus in addition to the more casual fare. Is there a big difference between the fried chicken you get at like a really fancy place and the fried chicken you get at a fast food joint or a family restaurant?
No, you know, I don't think so at all. I think it's really just a nod back to nostalgia. I mean, we're kind of going through that now as we're seeing, you know, Pop-Tart pastries and the things that harken back to our childhood and Sunday dinners that we had. So, you know, it's one of those kind of sacred foods. I don't think you can mess too hard with fried chicken.
I would say at the more upscale restaurants, the sides might be a little bit different or the plating is different. But as Jenny said,
that's a good point.
The basic fried chicken is going to be the same.
Fast food chicken tends to run the gamut anyway. I mean, you know, some fast food chicken's not so good, I think. And then I think Popeye's fried chicken is like some of the best.
Well, we'll get into specific places in just a second, but you can call 816-235-2888 to weigh in on the best place to get fried chicken in Kansas City. That's 816-235-2888. Jenny, your list has different sections. One of the sections is like special treat kind of fried chicken, like high-end fried chicken. And then you also have a section that's everyday fried chicken. So let's start with the fancy schmancy area. Tell me about the fried chicken you're recommending at Cafe Europa.
So some of the higher-end restaurants are doing what usually on Sundays or on the weekends, what they'll call kind of Sunday suppers. And these are basically just family-style dinners. And chicken is fried chicken is a fantastic thing that they could do, obviously, for a family-style dinner. Cafe Europa's is very similar. Basically, from 5:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. On Sundays, they offer a buttermilk marinated Europa fried chicken. And it's served with a house salad, green beans, with mashed potatoes and biscuit. And then you get one of their fantastic desserts. All for one price. And so in this case, this isn't a single, this isn't necessarily family style, but, you know, all of that together on one plate, you know, that's the other thing about fried chicken dinners. I think you see a lot of, you know, not separate sides, right? Usually there are some sides that are included in a fried chicken dinner, and that's the case here at Cafe Europa.
And things kind of heaping on the plate.
Yeah. Well, you know, you got to have all the sides, you know?
Well, you're also recommending Story and the Webster House. Tell me about those.
So Story is another one. They do a Wednesday night special, and it's from 5 to 10, and you get four pieces of fried chicken. They have a savory bread pudding and then Brussels sprouts and bacon hash that they serve for one price on Wednesday nights only. And, you know, I just think it's interesting the juxtaposition of having, you know, this nice fine dining experience where you can get a nice glass of wine and still enjoy a lovely, you know, fried chicken meal that's comforting. So,
does anything stand out about the chicken itself at Story?
You know, for me, it's all about the crust. I mean, just a nice, crispy, crispy crust. And then,
now,
of course,
is it pan-fried, Jenny? We should stress that pan-fried is so labor-intensive.
No, it is not pan-fried. Okay. It is kind of more of a traditional, you know, crunchy crust on it, not necessarily just pan-fried. So
it's deep-fried.
Right.
So that's Story. And what about Webster House?
Webster House is a brunch selection that I'm recommending. So from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., they have their sweet tea brined, which I think sounds miraculously good. Fried chicken that's basically served on a cathead biscuit. It's got American cheese and Duke's mayonnaise and a kale slaw and pickled red onions. So this is a real nod to the South that the Webster House has on their brunch menu.
Is it because the chef is Southern?
Yeah, well, he loves Southern food. I mean, he really does. So it's just a nice, tasty chicken sandwich. You know, Howard's has a good chicken sandwich too, that just opened.
Howard's, what is it called? Howard's Grocery Cafe and Catering.
That's right. That's right. So,
and where is that?
It's on, I want to say,
Oak, I think.
Yeah, it's on Oak. Mm-hmm. What, 15th, 16th?
I think it's 17th and Oak. It's right behind the Kansas City Star building.
You're right. It's south of Truman.
Mm-hmm. Right. Chef Craig Howard has that place, and
the best cheeseburger I ever had, but I won't digress.
Yes, let's not digress into cheeseburgers. We've got Tim in Kansas City on the line. Hi, Tim.
Hi.
What place do we need to go to in your viewpoint?
Well, there's a place on Truman Road called Porsche's. And they only serve lunch on Thursdays. They have fried chicken. And I have eaten fried chicken, you know, several different places, including Stroud's from when they started out underneath the bridge there on 85th Street. And I think the best fried chicken is Porsche's on Truman Road. It's family-owned. You can get light or dark. I will get it to go and take it home for dinner for my wife and I. Real mashed potatoes, homemade gravy, green beans with bacon and onions in it, corn. You get two rolls.
Dang, I mean, that's a lot of food.
$10.
Tim,
$10.
Can I ask you a question about the chicken itself? I mean, for you, you've said that you go to you've had fried chicken at a lot of places, and this is the best at Porsche's on Truman Road. And I am wondering if you can tell us what you consider to be good fried chicken. Can you describe the qualities that good fried chicken has?
Well, good fried chicken for me is crunchy on the outside, tender on the inside, juicy and flavorful, where you don't have to put a little salt on it or pepper. Every bite is great. I mean, she just has it seasoned perfectly for me.
All right. Thanks, Tim.
You're welcome.
And so that's Tim's vote. Anyone here tried Porsches?
I love Porsches. One of the reasons I love it so much, just as an aside, is that, you know, they have specials every single day. Chicken bean, you know, I think, what did he say, the Thursday special? And when they start running low on specials, the waitresses come out and they say, "We have one ham dinner left. We have one ham dinner left." So the people who are walking in will know.
Well, that's nice. You don't get your hopes up.
I know it. I love that.
I hate it when I get my hopes up and then it's not there. All right. So let's hear now from Bill in Stillwell, because Bill might object to something that our previous caller just said. Bill, what is your favorite fried chicken in town?
Well, it's not just mine. My family, for all of our special occasions, even though we're very health conscious, you know, marathon runners, all these different things, we go to Stroud's for all special occasions, for all the birthdays and things like that. The reason why we go there is because we never even, the waitresses never bothered to give us the menu because we ordered the same thing every time. Half for 20, I have to remember this because my daughter's 28. We've been going there 28 years. But I have a question for Charles. Charles, not long ago you mentioned a fried chicken restaurant north of the river, I believe it was, and I forgot the name of it, and I tried to Google it when you said it, and I think I had the name wrong. I wondered if you remember what it was.
Are you excuse me.
This might not be a great moment for Charles to answer that question.
I've got it. Are you talking about Galvin's Dinner House in St. Joseph?
No, it was in the Kansas City metro proper north area, and it had a lot of side dishes like collard greens and things like that. I remember that part. If I remember right, you were a vegetarian or half then. You said you really liked going there.
I haven't been a vegetarian, I'm happy to say, for 30 years.
For you.
where would that have been north of the river? I'm trying to... Gosh, forgive
Anyhow,
me.
Well...
It'll come to me before the end
Charles
of the show.
Charles has eaten many meals in his storied food critic career. Thank you for that call, Bill. And I think we should discuss Stroud's because it is kind of, in some ways, the gold standard for a lot of people in Kansas City about fried chicken. First of all, like, what do we know about the Stroud's story?
Here's what the Stroud's story is, that it was started out as a roadhouse back when anything past 75th Street was out of the city limits. And so it was kind of a wild roadhouse, and it did not start out as a fried chicken place. It started out as a barbecue place, barbecue and beer. And Helen Stroud, during the Depression, couldn't afford the beef that went into barbecue, and chickens were cheap, so she started making fried chicken. And that's the story.
All right. So what do we think of Stroud's as a panel?
I'm not a huge fried chicken person, so I'm probably not the one to answer this, except for the fact I love their cinnamon rolls that come with it, and those are big and huge. And
yeah,
and
those are just as famous as the chicken.
Exactly.
You know, I think the secret sauce with Stroud's is the fact that we all have some sort of family tradition that's tied to it. Like, we have good family memories there. We have memories of being there with family. My grandmother actually lived, when I first moved to Kansas City back in the early 90s, she lived just down the street from the original Stroud's, underneath the underpass,
right,
kind of. And she would send me on Sundays. She would call in her order. She had a standard order. And she would order an extra 2 pans of the cinnamon rolls that she would eat on with her coffee throughout the week. So it was like this ritual. And I lived with her for a short period of time before I got my own place. So I became very familiar with how to get from my grandmother's house at about 75th and Oak over to the Stroud's. And it was tradition. And that's what we would have on Sundays. And so I have hugely fond memories and was really sad to see, obviously, the original location.
That location has a lot of memories for a lot of people. And it was... You know, for those listeners, there could be listeners out there who never got to go there. Can you describe it in some detail, what it was like in
a dump? No, I mean in the best possible way. You know, I mean, it had been a roadhouse
it looked every bit a roadhouse.
Yeah,
and that was part
of the charm, is that they didn't try to, you know, gentrify it or make it sweet or, you know, cozy or anything like that. It was like an old beat up roadhouse.
And you just stand right outside the door out front, because there was always a wait, but you'd just be standing like, yeah, it wasn't on a patio or something. You were just standing on the side of the road.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk to Phil in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Phil.
Hi.
What can you share?
Well, I hear you talking about Stroud's, and actually that was one of my favorite places. It's
you know, it's a good place to go with the piano music and the uneven floors and the obscene T-shirts. And
the piano music was by a guy named Lester. He was great.
Yeah, that was great. But what I said is all the places that you've talked about so far, I've had the chicken at, and I really come to the down to the fact that Price Chopper has the best fried chicken in Kansas City. And, you know, and I said that, and one of the things, every time I say that in a group of people, there's at least one other person in the group that goes, yeah, you're right. You know, but it's like they don't want to think about it in those terms. But every Price Chopper I've been to, it's all the same formula, and I could take it to a five-star restaurant and serve it, and you'd get raves.
Well, okay, describe it to us. I know it's hard to make one fried chicken sound different from another, but make the case here.
Well, the first thing about it is the chicken is really good. It's never dried out. It's always just perfectly cooked. And then the crust is just exactly the way deep-fried chicken would be. It's not oily or anything. You know, Stroud's is pan-fried, so it tends to be a little bit greasy sometimes. But, you know, I'm kind of a health food nut, so I seldom eat fried chicken. But when I really want to be indulgent, you know, I just go and I get probably enough for a whole family and eat most of it myself from Price Chopper because it's just, you know, it is the ultimate comfort food. And even the white meat is really moist.
Okay, well, thanks so much, Phil. And we're hearing a couple of different people telling us that this is their guilty pleasure. What is it about fried chicken, you guys, that makes it sort of the ultimate guilty pleasure for, we're hearing, like, a marathon runner and a self-professed
Well, it's not healthy, you know. I mean, you know, well, I'm kind of shocked to hear that a marathon runner would eat, but he did say it was for special occasions. I mean, let's face it, fried chicken and not even the sides are very healthy. You know, cottage fries or mashed potatoes, you know, it's a guilty pleasure because you should feel guilty eating it.
Mary, I want to get some more of our critics' recommendations here. Talk to me about the fried chicken dish you're recommending at Char Bar.
You know, if I'm going to eat fried chicken, I want it to be a little bit more interesting than the basic. And I go for the fried chicken and waffles, which a few restaurants in town have. And at the Char Bar, they have Tabasco honey chicken wings, which have a little spice to them, and that's another topic. We can get into hot chicken too, but and then they have a bacon cheddar waffle and syrup and hollandaise, and I usually like to have some hot sauce too, and I just like the juxtaposition of the savory and sweet and spicy all complementing each other. It just elevates the dish a little bit.
And let's see, Charles, tell me about your recommendations, because I think I can count on you to kick us off on the topic of everyday fried chicken, even though, as we've said, no one should really eat it every day. But
one should really be eating it probably every week. But, you know, I think we should also stress that, you know, there is a big difference, taste difference, I think, in deep fried and pan fried chicken. I think one of the reasons people are so nostalgic for Stroud's is there's not a lot of places that still do pan fried chicken. It's very labor intensive. And I think pan fried chicken tastes very, very different from deep fried chicken.
But deep fried chicken, I mean, what would the eater notice about the difference other than the cooking methods? I mean, from the eater's standpoint.
Well, I think, and I could be wrong, but my personal opinion is that pan fried chicken is crunchier. But, you know, I don't know. It's and not as greasy. Well, probably it's more greasy, but it doesn't taste as greasy to me.
So pan fried and then deep fried. I am seeing a little bit of a trend, if the food magazines do not deceive me, toward trying to make something that you call fried chicken, but in the oven.
Right, right. I gave your producer a recipe for that. Is really, really old. It actually dates back to the Harvey House. And it's the recipe I use for fried chicken.
Why do you use it?
Because it's foolproof, A. And I think fried chicken is... I've never had success making fried chicken. I don't know if Mary or Jenny have, but it's unless you have the knack for it, you know, you grew up with a grandmother from Omaha or something, you never develop that knack.
Well,
or
and it's messy. I mean, it's really messy.
It's messy and greasy.
That's another reason why it's great to go out for.
Yeah.
And this recipe from the old Harvey House, you start by frying the pieces in a roasting pan, which takes away a little bit of the mess. And then you transfer it to the oven and bake it off for about 45 minutes to an hour. And it's so foolproof that, you know, it tastes like fried chicken, pretty much. And it's very little work.
You know, we can call it fried chicken if it's been made in the oven?
Well, because you started out in a fryer.
Okay, fair enough.
But, you know, you were talking about national magazines. Rye does pan-fried chicken, and they've been getting a lot of
they
national
do not.
Press.
They do not do pan-fried chicken. Rye does deep-fried chicken.
But they talk about doing it in a cast iron pan, don't they?
No.
Oh, I thought it was. Well, I think the distinction really is that pan-fried chicken has to be managed. I mean, in a restaurant setting, it would be really tough. Not to say that there aren't restaurants, obviously, that do pan-fried, but pan-fried does take someone standing over it and managing
it. Right.
Whereas deep-fried, you can just pop it.
That's the art of Stroud's.
Yeah.
All of the Stroud's is those chicken fryers they're artists. They know what they're doing.
Well, Mary, you brought up rye, and that's on your list. I'd love to hear about rye's fried chicken from you.
Well, it's crisp. I love the crust and the meat is still really moist, which to me is a key component of good fried chicken. And they have hot sauces on the table that you can use for anything, and I like to use it for that. But my favorite part of their fried chicken is the cottage fries that come with it.
So you were
speaking
saying,
of unhealthy.
I know.
You were Marianne saying fries. That the high-end restaurants have a different approach to sides, and rye is kind of, I don't know, it's an interesting combination of the traditional foods and the comfort foods with the high-end, I mean, the notable chefs and all of that.
Exactly.
Are the sides along the traditional lines, or are they?
They're traditional, but elevated, perhaps. I mean, a lot of restaurants do serve cottage fries, but Colby's are just better. I mean, they're really good.
That's Colby Geraltz, the chef at Rye.
Exactly.
They're very good, but I think Stroud's are just as good.
Well, that's a matter of opinion.
We are having a lot of debate today among the food critics here on Central Standard. Call 816-235-2888 to tell us about your favorite fried chicken in town. Can we also talk about eating techniques? Because I think you can tell a lot about a person based on how they eat fried chicken, with their hands or using a fork and knife. And I would like to know.
A knife and fork, only people who went to Vassar do that. So.
Well, I'm a dark meat eater, and it's really hard to eat a drumstick with a knife and fork, so I've never tried
it. Or wings, for
that
matter.
Yeah, that's true.
No silverware ever. I mean, it's fried chicken. It's finger food. It's meant to be picked up and put in your mouth.
That's right.
And especially because you're eating it off the bone. I mean, there's something inherently.
It'd be like eating ribs with a knife and fork.
Although I've seen that too.
Oh, well.
We'll be getting right back to your favorite fried chicken in town when Central Standard returns, whether you eat it with a fork and knife or with your hands, as our food critics insist is the proper way. 816-235-2888 with the best places to go when you've got a craving that can only be satisfied with oil-drenched poultry. It's Friday, and the food critics are in session this morning on Central Standard. I'm Gina Kaufman, here with Charles Ferruza, Jenny Vergara, and Mary Block. You can join our conversation about fried chicken at 816. Healthy conversation going on there already that you'll be a part of. Charles, we've heard you recommend quite a few things, but you've mentioned Popeyes, that you love Popeyes fried chicken. What about Niecy's?
I love Niecy's. I love Niecy's for so many things. It's at 63rd and Troost. Or actually, probably 64th and Troost. It's a little soul food kind of diner place. And they do fried chicken dinners, actually. But I prefer the fried chicken wings with the waffle for the same reasons Mary said. I like that combination of sweet and savory. And they also do really good waffles, too. And, getting back to another thing Mary said is, to me, the sides are just as important with fried chicken, maybe more important. You know, fried chicken has to have certain sides. And even if I order chicken and waffles and have that sweet thing going on, I still like a side dish of collard greens. I like a side dish of macaroni and cheese. I'm explaining my weight problem right here to all of you. And what else do I like with at Niecy's as a side dish? Sometimes mashed potatoes.
I want all of that right now.
And so Niecy's does those things, but what makes their particular preparation or presentation work
for you? Fried chicken wings are big and they're really, really crunchy. And I like the juxtaposition of the crunchy wings and the soft waffle.
Now, Charles and Jenny have recommended chicken macaroni and cheese. And I've never been there, but I'm ready to hear about it.
Well, is this the time that I talk about their signature sandwich?
Oh, please do. I can't remember the name of it.
The Chicaroni.
The Chicaroni.
The Chicaroni is their signature sandwich, and it is they're good, very good fried chicken, chopped up. It's still, you know, it's chopped up, but it's still fried, and mixed in with their homemade macaroni and cheese and served on a bun.
So my story with that place is that I had seen, I think it was in the pitch actually, Charles, this terribly taken photograph of this sandwich, bless your heart. And I was like, what is this hot mess on a bun? I mean, clearly I must go see. So I was really surprised by the interior and we had table service the day that I went.
It's all, no, you're right. It is not always table service.
I mean, so. it's gorgeous on the inside. From the outside, you would kind of never really know what the secret is. But yep, there's something about the fried chicken there. And they have several different dishes, obviously. But this seems to be kind of the favorite because, I mean, fried chicken smothered in macaroni and cheese, two things that normally always go together on a bun.
We should always also
I never got the bun to my mouth, I don't think.
Oh, really?
Oh, I was. I think I did fork
it sounds
and knife
amazing.
That one. It's crazy good.
Yeah, very fattening.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure. Okay, let's talk to Courtney in Kansas City. Hi, Courtney.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's your recommendation?
Well, Charles actually took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to recommend Niecy's chicken and waffles. They're just no frills, everyday chicken and waffles. They serve it all day, every day. And it's nice and crispy, big wings, and they're not overly breaded. I mean, they're crispy and crunchy, but not tons of extra.
We should also say, Courtney, maybe you feel the same way that I do, that they're really pretty meaty. You know, sometimes wings are Spartan in the meat category, but these wings are meaty.
Yes, exactly. And it's just one big waffle and two big wings and just smother them in syrup, and they're delicious. And the service is always great there, and it's just good. Great place, and I can't recommend it highly enough.
Thanks so much for that call. So Niecy's is getting a lot of love on today's show. Let's hear from Sam in Prairie Village. Hi, Sam.
Hi, how are you?
Great. What's your recommendation?
It was kind of an unusual thing. I was down at Red Door Grill in Leawood, and I just don't expect to. They had fried chicken there. I think they're doing it like once a week, I think maybe on Thursdays. And so my girlfriends and I ordered it, and it was just such a pleasant, it was just so great. I mean, it was tasty and moist. And when you go someplace that isn't a fried chicken place, it's really refreshing to be able to order something and have it be really tasty. I would definitely do it again. They had some kind of a jalapeno sauce that they served with it. It was so
a jalapeno
unique,
sauce.
It was different.
All
yeah,
right. Well, thank you for that recommendation, Sam.
You're welcome.
And it sounds like Sam's recommending the Red Door Grill specifically for girls' nights. Fried chicken and girls' nights. They go together like cookies and ice cream.
I'm wondering if the earlier caller we had who was looking for the fried chicken place north in the Northland was thinking of, and it's. I think it's on your list, Jenny, the North End, which used to be La Salle's in Old Columbus Park.
That might be true. That might be.
Now, I think they only have chicken on Saturday nights. Am I right?
That's correct.
And by the way, it's really good.
Mm. I need to get in there and get it. It's on my list of must-try chicken places.
You know, another place that does great chicken and waffles is the Beer Kitchen in Westport. And they have chicken and smashed potatoes for lunch or dinner, but for brunch on Sunday, they have a great oven-fried chicken breast, and they do it in a maple mustard marinade, and then they serve it with a cheddar bacon chive waffle.
Yum.
So, again, a little sweetness with that.
Well, and just down the street, Westport Cafe and Bar does, for their brunch menu, a French toast and fried chicken.
It's lovely.
Which is just so good. One of my favorite brunch picks there.
Mary, we did speak with Derek Nacy at BLVD Tavern about his Korean fried chicken earlier in the show, but you're recommending it too. Give us your review.
Well, I like it because it's again, a little bit different, and I love spice. And this is very spicy. I love that it comes with the kimchi, and the Korean red pepper paste that it's made with is really great. It's like chicken wings on steroids. There's a ton of meat within the wing, and the crust is very crunchy and flavorful. It's just quite different than anything else you're going to find in town.
And let's see. Jenny, talk to me about Anna's Oven.
So Anna's Oven is on 39th Street, one of my new discoveries in my new move to the 39th Street area, to the Midtown area. So basically on Fridays from 4:30 to 9, they do a buttermilk spice marinated for 24 hours, hormone-free fried chicken. And it's battered and fried, served with mashed potatoes and coleslaw. And it's only $11, which I think is a steal. But that little place is kind of, nobody talks too much about Anna's. I think she does a lot of catering, but she also does serve food in her place. So
I don't want to digress too much, but I think Anna's doesn't get the love it deserves because it is so inexpensive. I think people dismiss it because of that.
So maybe people's expectations are
not high enough, or I don't know. It's very inexpensive there.
So tell me, where is it located again, and what other kinds of things do they serve?
It's almost a state line.
It's between State Line and Bell on 39th Street, next to Thomas?
Yeah.
I think on Thomas, the south side of the street.
And they only serve comfort dishes. I mean, the menu's not elaborate at all.
Lasagna.
And I think it's like certain days are certain, it's kind of like, mom's house, right? Monday is this night, Tuesday is this night, and Friday is fried chicken night.
Yeah.
So,
but I think they have fried chicken. Do they have fried chicken every night? I don't think they do.
I don't know. I just saw it on Friday nights. That's when I had it. So,
Gina, another way to think about fried chicken is in a salad. Genesee Royale Bistro has a Cobb salad that they make with fried chicken. So for those of us who don't like a lot of fried chicken, that's kind of a nice way to go. Adds a little crunch to the salad.
Let's talk to Dave in South Kansas City. Hi, Dave.
Hey, how you doing?
Great. What do you want to add to this conversation about fried chicken?
For me, good fried chicken doesn't come without, unless you have good cream gravy with it. Nice peppery cream gravy. And I had an epiphany listening to the show, and I just realized that you can't get good cream gravy unless you cook it in a frying pan. You can't get it from deep fried chicken. So that's my comment.
Where do you get the best cream gravy in town?
Well, you'd have to go to a pan-fried place. I always get it at Stroud's.
And you like it there?
Yeah, it's good. It's good. It's a good fried chicken, but for me, it's all about the gravy.
It's all about the gravy.
On the mashed potatoes and on the chicken.
We have heard today from Jenny Vergara that it's all about the crunch.
Mm-hmm.
And from Dave, that it's all about the gravy. What is it all about for you, Mary?
I guess the moistness of the meat.
What about you, Charles?
Well, I don't know. I don't have any rigid criteria, really. We should say about Stroud's is the chicken pieces they have are like on steroids. They're huge. Mm-hmm. And if you go to someplace like Galvin's, which, when they started making fried chicken in the 1930s, they were actually raising the chicken in the backyard.
Where's Galvin's?
In St. Joseph, Missouri.
St. Joe, right?
And it's on my list. And it has come back from the grave because it's an old place and it had burned down and they've rebuilt. They rebuilt the part that burned down anyway. But it makes chicken like the kind of fried chicken our parents probably had, where it's not these big, massive, steroidal pieces. And I'm using steroidal as a metaphor as opposed to a reality. But, they're just, regular old barnhouse chicken. The pieces aren't big, especially.
Fryers.
They're fryers, exactly. If you're addicted to Stroud's, you will be addicted to these meaty, juicy pieces of chicken, where Galvin's is, they're a little bit not meaty and maybe not so juicy, but it's very crunchy and it's very satisfying. And they have all of the old-fashioned side dishes, too.
Prepared in the old-fashioned way, I'm presuming?
Yes, and they have a bar for someone who has to have a martini with their chicken.
Jenny, your list includes a shout out to a fried chicken option we are going to have in Kansas City, even though it's not here yet. Gus's Fried Chicken?
Yeah, actually, I have kind of two future fried chickens. Gus's Fried Chicken is a beloved chain out of Memphis. This is their first outpost for Kansas City. And, you know, a lot of people consider it a hot chicken, but I was told by the folks at Gus's that Nashville is really the home of fried chicken, and that's where you can find Hattie's and Prince and all that. And that Memphis style is just a spiced batter. So it is, it has a little bit of a spice, just enough to kind of make you sit up and take notice.
So would this qualify as hot chicken Nashville style? Because we do have a question from Twitter about whether there's any hot chicken Nashville style in Kansas City.
There is not. And yeah. I know this because I made Colby Geraltz make me some. Just so I could try it.
You're ordering it special off menus because we don't have it.
This Memphis is not really even close to hot chicken, but I think it would be comparable.
And in Nashville, like at Hattie's and Prince, you order it like you would Thai food, mild, medium, hot, extra hot, you know, whether you want to just be burning up or not. And they've got hot sauce in the batter.
So this is like a notorious thing there. But it's not just, is it a particular kind of spicy or is it just...
It's how they make the spice, you know, how they make the hot. I think, isn't Gus's more with cayenne and the others more with hot sauce?
That's right. That's right.
I mean, it can be wet. The chicken in Nashville is a wet crunch.
Like drenched.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. But would that be like hot wing challenges here or totally different category, just no comparison, no relationship?
It'd be like saying... Carolina barbecue versus Kansas City barbecue. They're cousins, but they're really distant cousins.
Let's talk with James. We've got James in Midtown. Hi, James.
Yes, I'm going to talk about, I've had some good fried chicken at Coda's on Broadway when the second and fourth Tuesday of the month I go down there to hear the Knotty Pines with Casey Roush. And at 7:50, it's lovely two-piece dinner, good and crispy and moist, with mashed potatoes and gravy and green beans on a square plate.
Charles, the square plate is probably very important.
Yeah, absolutely. And Charles, that one chicken place you talked about North River a long time ago, it was a pizza chain out of Iowa, but they had roasted chicken.
James has a good memory for Charles's reviews, it seems.
Yeah, I can't remember. I mean, we've discussed broasted chicken, which is not fried chicken, on this show, but yeah, okay.
Let's talk very quickly with Kathy and Lawrence. Hi, Kathy.
Hi there. I'm calling about a place that's out in the city, in the state, called Brookville Hotel. And it's now in Abilene. For years, it was in the little tiny, tiny town off I-70 of Brookville. But now it's on the only exit for Abilene. And if you're driving to Colorado or driving out west, it is so worth a stop, and it's a good idea to get a reservation. And their half fried chicken comes with mashed potatoes, gravy, cottage cheese, coleslaw, homemade pickles, homemade candied apples for like $13.
Kathy, did you say this is the only place you'll go for it?
Yep, that's it. We've tried other places, and we've got grandkids now in Colorado, and it's part of our routine. We waddle out of there. Oh, they also have homemade ice cream and pie. But we'll waddle out of there and stay somewhat comatose till we get to about Waukini, and then we spend the night and then drive on into to Boulder.
So
it's worth a trip.
And how long of a trip is that from Lawrence, where you live?
About 2 hours.
Okay, so from Kansas City, you're looking at 3. So that's maybe, Kathy is recommending that
road
is
road trip.
Road trip fried chicken.
I was underwhelmed. I know this is heresy to say, but I was underwhelmed by the chicken at the Brookville Hotel. But I did like all the side dishes. I loved that it starts out with, the caller listed all the components of a relish tray without mentioning it's a relish tray. And, you don't see relish trays anymore. And I thought the chicken was just okay, but I'm sorry, it does not rival Stroud's. Stroud's is much better.
And so you took that 3-hour drive just to try this fried chicken?
Well, I stayed overnight so I can go to the Eisenhower Museum. Hmm.
Charles, that's so studious.
He's taking the road trip for us. We don't have to go now.
Well, thank you so much. Our time is up. Food critics, thank you for giving us these great tips on fried chicken just in time for Labor Day weekend and family picnics. Mary Block of Around the Block, thanks so much.
Thank you, Gina.
And Jenny Vergara of Feast Magazine, it's been fun.
Thanks so much for having me.
Charles Ferruzza of The Pitch, you are a gem, and I always feel that way, but I feel the need to say it because you just had a birthday. KCUR loves you, Charles.
Thank you, Gina. It's been great.
For our list of the best fried chicken in Kansas City, go to kcur.org/centralstandard later today. You can share it with your friends who might have missed the show, and you can sign up for our podcast while you're there. kcur.org/centralstandard. Monday, tune in for a Labor Day special during this hour. Stay in touch with us on social media. KCUR has a Facebook page, and Central Standard is on Twitter. We're at KCURCST. Central Standard is produced by Matthew Long Middleton and Sylvia Maria Gross, with Fridays by Jen Chen. We get lots of help from Andrea Tudhope and Suzanne Hogan. Linda Scher runs the board for us every day. Our music is by Spoonbender Labs. I'm Gina Kaufman. Have a great weekend.